Tina Brown is with us once again. She's the editor of The Daily Beast and Newsweek, and she brings us a regular feature we call Word of Mouth. We hear what Tina's reading, we get reading recommendations for ourselves, and this time around, she's sent us some recommendations on the theme of resistance. Hi, Tina.
Good morning, Steve.
And when we say resistance, here's this first one from the Financial Times. The article is called My Father's Message to Putin from a Prison Camp. Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia once again.
Yes, what a scary, brutal guy he is. I mean, this is a piece by Pavel Khodorkovsky, as you say. He is the son of the former CEO of Yukos, once Russia's largest company, the oil company, which was seized by Putin, largely because Khodorkovsky had been funding oppositional politics. And the piece begins by his son writing, "His hands numb after queuing in the bitter cold outside, my father squeezes into a phone booth and dials my number. Thousands of miles away in the U.S., I hear his dear voice, still husky from the frosty Carolean air. His tone has its usual calm." It's just unbelievable that this guy has been in a penal colony.
And it's really incredible. I mean, this guy was he not the richest man in Russia or one of the richest men in Russia? He went from the absolute top to the absolute bottom here.
He did, and he has been incredibly brave, and he is just a refused to sort of recant his opposition to Putin. And this son has not seen him since 2003 when he went to college in the U.S. And the son is really reminding us how incredibly important it is not to forget these people. And as we saw this past week when we were all mesmerized by the incredible courage of the blind lawyer Zhen Quancheng in China, who escaped the house arrest and crawled blind, you know, through the undergrowth and then met this fellow dissident who drove him to Beijing to the American embassy. These people are so incredibly brave, and it really is important for us not to forget them when they're off the radar, which, of course, most of them are.
So Mikhail Khodorkovsky's son is trying to keep him on the radar, get him back on the radar.
He's trying to get him back on the radar, and we must remember him. Actually, we have in Newsweek now a piece this week, which is kind of a companion, in a sense, to this one, by Putin's terrific biographer, Masha Gessen, about Garry Kasparov. She describes how the world-famous chess player in 2005, encouraged by the protest movements at the time against, demanding fair elections, formed an organization called the United Civil Front and renounced chess and took on the road to campaign against Putin. But what she describes is how basically Putin understood that he could not imprison Kasparov. He's just too much of a world celebrity. You just could not do that. But instead, he did something kind of almost more sinister. He simply reduced him really to a non-person. What Kasparov found is that drivers who took him to in the engagements that he was doing, his political engagements, would suddenly mysteriously get lost. Hecklers would be there, mysteriously planted to pelt him with eggs and ketchup. His rallies were incorrectly publicized, or, recorded broadcasts that he made weren't transmitted. And so basically, he was turned into this marginal person. But he stayed on in Russia. He's determined. And, of course, the recent protest movements have really been, in a sense, helped to be seeded by Kasparov's bravery, in a sense, because he helped to create these networks, many of them. He actually had begun 6 years ago now in trying to get groups together and outlying groups and so on. And they have actually proven it's that agenda, in a sense, that has helped to fuel the recent protest movement. So he's done a good job in that sense.
Mm. Your third recommended reading on resistance takes us back into history.
Well, it does. And again, it is this theme, much of it, in Madeleine Albright's wonderful memoir, Prague Winter, that you choose who you want to be morally. You really do, all the way through these stories, whether it's Khodorkovsky, whether it's Kasparov, or whether indeed it is the Czechs who were, in a sense, forced to collaborate with Hitler because there was no help for the Czechs. And so when Hitler marched into the Sudetenland, they really were forced to just simply give up without a fight. But nonetheless, there were people who decided that they were going to simply collaborate and others who really tried to resist. And
let's remind people of Madeleine Albright's connection to all of this. First female Secretary of State, and around the time that she was becoming Secretary of State in the 1990s, she found out that she had Jewish ancestry and that she had relatives who had gone through the Holocaust. And now in this book, she's listed even more of them.
She has. She used her family papers at this time to go back into this sort of unexplored story of her past, where she discovered that relatives had died horribly in the camps at Terezin. and shot in the woods as well. And it's a very, for her, it was a very painful memoir, I think, to write. And she describes a lot about her father, Joseph Corbell, who, of course, had to go into exile in the UK, where he worked for the BBC. He was a very distinguished academic. And he did what he could as at the BBC to help to rally support for the Czechs and the outlaw Czech government in London. And, you know, I was thinking that, you know, people either have the soul of collaborators or the soul of resistors. And this is very much a theme, in a sense, of Albright's book, because she constantly asks the question, what kind of choices do we decide to make? You know, she has an interesting passage where she says, why do some people become stronger in the face of adversity while others quickly lose heart? What separates the bully from the protector? Is it education, spiritual belief, our parents? More succinctly, do our hopes for the future hinge on a desirable unfolding of external events or some mysterious process within? This is really her obsessive theme in the book, which is who has the stuff and why do you have it to become a resistor rather than a collaborator?
And your eye was turned to one particular story of heroism there.
Yeah, she tells a most amazing story about how these two heroes in May 1942, a group of parachuters was sent from the UK to drop into occupied Czechoslovakia with the goal of assassinating the really brutal Reinhard Heydrich, who was Hitler's emissary to Prague to crush the Czechs. These two incredibly brave heroes, Josef Gabčík and Jan Kubis, waited for Heydrich. And as he rounded the hairpin bend in his open Mercedes, Gabčík fired a shot. Unfortunately, his gun jammed and Kubis therefore lobbed a hand grenade. The car blew up. But didn't kill Heydrich. He was terribly wounded. He was rushed to hospital. But these two incredible heroes, after an amazingly exciting kind of flight, wind up being greatly helped in their flight by an incredibly brave woman called Maria Marikova, who finally got them to this crypt underneath Prague with the rest of the parachutists where they hid. But tragically, one of their gang, who wasn't in the crypt, decided to go for the reward, and he was the collaborator. He actually told the Nazis where Maria Marikova was. They went to her apartment, stormed in, but while they were searching the apartment, she takes a cyanide pill, and of course the Nazis go and blow up the crypt, and the assassins then very bravely commit suicide with their last shots. But this is the most amazing story, and of course, Madeleine Albright is so full of admiration for these heroes. And she says, my own reaction is to feel disdain for the outright traitors and unrestrained admiration for the heroes who chose bravely. As for the many who kept their eyes averted and their mouths shut, doing all they could to avoid involvement, I feel neither respect nor any sense of superiority. But placed in the same circumstances, would I have shown the courage of a Madame Moravkova? As much as I would like to think so, I can make no such claim.
Question we can all ask of ourselves. Word of mouth from Tina Brown. Tina, thanks very much.
Thank you.